health officials are reporting that a person in Texas has been infected with the Zika virus through sex. Now, it's thought this might have happened before, but today's confirmed case is adding to concerns about the current outbreak, although the biggest concern is transmission from mother to newborn. Zika virus can present as just a rash or joint pain in the carrier, but it's being linked to microcephaly, terrible brain damage, and undersized heads in newborns infected by their mothers. At least half a dozen cases of Zika virus have been confirmed in Texas, bumping the total number of cases in the continental U.S. to 30. So far, all except the one involving sexual transmission were contracted by people bitten by mosquitoes abroad. 19 cases have also been confirmed in the territory of Puerto Rico, and those are believed to have come from mosquitoes there. So, how to protect pregnant women? Dr. Jose Cordero is director of Puerto Rico's PROTECT Project, which researches environmental effects on pregnancy. He teaches at the University of Georgia in Athens. And Dr. Cordero, countries are asking women to put off pregnancy. Your thoughts on that?
Well, that is certainly one of the options in trying to reduce the risk. But it is a tough one to actually translate from recommendation to action. Both in the U.S. and most countries, like in Latin America, and Puerto Rico is no exception, nearly 50% of pregnancies are unintended. So there's a lot to be done in terms of trying to reduce the rate of pregnancies, especially the unintended.
Right. And so telling someone not to get pregnant might not help if 50% of women will accidentally.
Yes. So for those women that are already pregnant, the choice is to really protect themselves against mosquito bites through some kind of insect repellent, using clothing that covers most of their body. And third, using mosquito nets when they're in bed, although this is a mosquito that tends to bite mostly during the day.
Well, hold up there for a second. Bites during the day. And we understand from reporting we've done that lives indoors.
Yes, it lives indoors. The challenge is that it's very common in tropical areas to have plants that are actually growing in water. And those are very, very efficient breeding grounds for mosquitoes. So part of what has to be done is to educate the public, especially households that have a pregnant woman. It's about you need to get rid of any kind of area that has water. Even just one little cap of a Coke bottle, for example, could be enough to breed mosquitoes.
What else can pregnant women do? Because it's not, this isn't like measles, where you can say, oh, I have this. You might not even know if you're carrying the virus that might then be linked to a problem in your child.
Well, clearly, this is a new virus. It's an emerging virus in Puerto Rico. I know from our collaborators at CDC in Puerto Rico that first cases identified of Zika virus among many that they are tested is probably like December of 2015. Mm. So the challenge is that the population, no one in the population has immunity against this disease. Since there is no vaccine and there is not a treatment, controlling the mosquitoes and reducing the mosquito bites is really the best we can do right now.
Oh, it's key. It's key. But I'm thinking of women who are pregnant, who might be concerned maybe because they've traveled or maybe have recently been in Puerto Rico. I mean, can a woman get tested to see if, in fact, she has the virus?
Yes, that's something that can be done either through a blood test, and there is also a urine test that can be done. The challenge is that this is not a test that's available in any clinical laboratory. Right now, it is limited to testing through the public health departments in your area and basically CDC. So one of the areas that actually we need to work very quickly is how we can get an expansion so you can actually have testing for people that are actually exposed to the virus, as you said, traveling or because they came to Puerto Rico, went to Latin America, or they just reside in an area that actually is endemic or where these mosquitoes and Zika reside.
Well, but so if there's not a great way to test, what should a woman do if she is pregnant, has traveled to one of these places? Or what do you do with pregnant women in Puerto Rico who have a mild rash, have a fever, have some joint pain, remember that they had mosquito bites? What then happens?
Well, the advice that we are giving to the women that are in our study, but also what CDC is recommending for pregnant women, if there is a rash, if there is a fever or symptoms that could be Zika, it's to go and see your doctor. Tests will be done, and then the patient can be followed throughout pregnancy. Unfortunately, even with all the reports that are available from Latin America, we don't have a good idea on what is the risk of having a baby with a serious birth defect like microcephaly if you're infected. It is very important that any woman that may be exposed that be seen by your doctor and there's a follow-up so we can figure out what that risk may be.
Well, we understand that the mosquito that carries the Zika virus also carries other viruses, including dengue and chikungunya. Both cause some of the same things, right? The fevers, the joint pain?
Yes, and actually that is one of the challenges with these tropical diseases, because when a patient, especially in an area that is endemic like Puerto Rico, shows up with fever, a rash, maybe some aches and maybe joint pains, it's very difficult just through the clinical assessment to figure out whether this is dengue, chikungunya, and actually right now in Puerto Rico we are also having influenza. So there's also this need to develop tests that can help differentiate at the bedside.
But why is it that a woman might only have a rash or joint pain and the infant she's carrying might have this terrible microcephaly and brain damage?
That is a very good question, and actually it's not the first time. In the 1950s, we learned about German measles, which is also a very mild disease in adults, but for pregnant women, it causes very serious birth defects that include cataracts, deafness, and also congenital heart disease, and sometimes others. It is one of the known causes of autism. Nearly 7 to 10% of children infected with German measles during pregnancy ended up with autism. So it is not rare, at least in what we know about infections that could be mild, that would actually cause something very severe in the baby.
Yeah. Have you met women who've been bitten and whose children have been born with a microcephaly?
Fortunately, not yet. But having a project in Puerto Rico, I'm very, very concerned that I would be meeting one or more women that actually would be infected and may have a serious birth defect. And that's why it's so important that we have a very strong and very active monitoring. First, so we can actually try to reduce the risk of infection, but also that we could learn what is the risk so we can inform pregnant women or those that are considered to be pregnant about what is the level of risk.
Why is there more of an explosion in Brazil than elsewhere? What happens?
I'm very familiar with the birth defect surveillance in Brazil, and it was one of the very first that started in the world. So they have a 40-year tradition of monitoring birth defects. So I wasn't surprised that if there's an issue that like this, that we would come in a place that actually have the tools.
Doctor, are you saying that there may be cases elsewhere, but nobody's yet drawn the line from a case of microcephaly to Zika because they just don't know enough about it?
Exactly. Microcephaly is a rare disease. The estimates in the U.S. and in many other places of the world is about 2 babies out of 10,000. So, for example, in Puerto Rico, there are about 30, 40,000 births a year. So you may expect about 8 or 10 babies with microcephaly. But to be able to see that there is an increase, you need to have a way of counting them, following them. And that's what the birth defect surveillance have been doing in not only Brazil, but they've done in Colombia, which also have documented an increase. And we would be able to do in Puerto Rico, where we also have birth defect surveillance.
That's Dr. Jose Cordero. He researches pregnancy complications in Puerto Rico and the continental U.S. and teaches public health at the University of Georgia in Athens. He also works in collaboration with the CDC. Dr. Cordero, thanks and best of luck to you with this work.
Thank you very much, Robin.